I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, 1st chapter, verses 21 through 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching? With the authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. May God add his blessing to the hearing of his word.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate the reading. When the man with the unclean spirit is recognized in the synagogue, he cries out, as you heard Glenn say, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Might be a question some of us are asking. And Jesus responds, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Silence. Have you ever been in a situation where you wish someone who was agitating a group would be silent? Have you ever blurted out something only to wish that you had not? You realized it was inappropriate or irrelevant to the discussion? It had been a rather stormy board meeting, and some very harsh things had been said. One man, always highly respected and usually wise in his judgments, had said nothing throughout the proceeding. Suddenly, one of the leaders in the argument turned to him and said, "You have not said a word. I am sure we would all like to hear your opinion about this matter." "I have discovered," replied the quiet one, "that there are many times when silence is an opinion." Many people do not realize that oftentimes silence speaks louder than words. That silence does, in fact, express an opinion. What they choose to do is to say words that are divisive, disruptive, unkind, and ultimately unnecessary. But if they were just quiet, I think Jesus had that gift. When he went around and spoke to people, some of them would approach him and say things that were totally out of order, never should have been said, and Jesus said, "Be silent." If you're here to agitate, if you're here to cause a problem, it'd be best if you were just silent. Jesus lets this man know that his words are all of the above. His words were divisive, disruptive, unkind, and ultimately unnecessary. Jesus commands the unclean spirit, that is, the unkind, divisive, and disruptive person, to leave. But not just to leave, but to be silent and leave. How many situations can you think of where silence would be wise? I think all of us can think of situations where we wish someone had been silent. Certainly not while I'm preaching. I'm in choir, you got to watch them. A mousy little fellow was waiting on a corner when a car stopped and a huge man got out. "Excuse me, please," the big guy said, "but I am a stranger in town. And I'm lost. Can you direct me to Walling Road?" The mousy fellow looked at the big guy nervously and said nothing. "Are you deaf?" the big man wanted to know. "Can you speak English?" Still getting no answer, the big man walked over to a police officer. "Excuse me, please, but can you tell me how to get to Walling Road?" "Rolling Road? Why, sure. You go down this street and turn right." "Thank you, wery much," replied the muscle man as he went away. The officer watched him leave and then went over to the little fellow. "What's the matter with you?" he asked. "Couldn't you tell him how to get to Rolling Road?"
"Holy smoke, officer, are you crazy? The minute I tried to tell that big wascal how to get to Rolling Road, he would have torn me limb from limb."
Sometimes it's best to be silent. The mousy little fellow was wise to be quiet. The consequences of speaking could have been devastating for him. Benjamin Franklin said, "Sometimes it is best to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." We know there are times when it is best not to speak. Sometimes we intuitively know that speaking will make things worse. But when we have the urge to speak, knowing we are being unkind, knowing we are working to destroy someone else, our Lord says we have an unclean spirit. What it must be like to wake up every day feeling the urge to hurt someone else with our words. I came across a little prayer in a parish magazine entitled, "A Morning Prayer for Help." Note that I said morning. "Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm going to need your help the rest of the day." There are those in our society who actually need to say this prayer. There are those who need to know that this prayer exists. You know, when people get turned against one another, anything can happen. This man walks into the synagogue, he sees Jesus speaking, and immediately he starts trouble. Conflicts are not uncommon, but when the preacher and song leader get into it, stand aside. Thank goodness this has never happened with me and Beth. One week the preacher preached on commitment and how we should move forward in doing service for others. After the sermon, the song leader led the congregation in singing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The next Sunday, the preacher preached on giving and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord, and the song leader then led a song, "Jesus Paid It All." The next Sunday, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should watch our tongues. The hymn was, "I Love to Tell the Story." The preacher became disgusted over the situation. The next Sunday, he told the congregation he was considering resigning. The song leader then led them in, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" When the preacher resigned the next week, he told the church that Jesus had led him there and Jesus was taking him away. The song leader then sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." There are those who need to be more discerning with whom they speak. There are those who need to know that sometimes there will be conflict, but there's no reason to hurt one another with your words. And we know that Jesus, as he ministered to the people, there was usually someone who would come forward and try to say something to discredit him, to hurt him, to somehow dispel anything Jesus could tell them. And Jesus was familiar with this. He knew that it would happen. Four priests met for a friendly gathering. During the conversation, one priest said, "Our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confess certain sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul." In due time, they all agreed. One of them said that he had a problem with losing his temper on occasion. The second confessed to liking to smoke cigars. And the third one confessed to liking golf so much that he would fake illness so he could play on weekends. When it came to the fourth priest, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, saying, "Come on now. We confessed ours. What is your secret or vice?" Finally, he answered, "It's gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here." Now, have you met people like that? They can hardly wait to get out of something so they can run and tell everybody what was said, or their version of what was said. Have you been around people that just have to say something, even if they're not sure that it's the truth. You know, they hear something and without verifying any information or considering the source, they repeat what they've heard to everyone they know, only to find that it was bad information. Too late, damage done. Jesus understood gossip and misinformation perhaps better than anyone, and he called it an unclean spirit when we do that. What he did and how he did it was not always reported correctly. We know that. Worse yet, his intentions were certainly distorted. Charges like sedition, insurrection, malice, and a variety of other unkind and false charges were leveled at Jesus as he healed, taught, preached, and yes, even raised people from the dead. How can you say something bad about that? But they managed. And let us not forget, Jesus did these things not just for Jews, but for everyone. Indiscriminately helped everyone. What does God want for us? Scripture tells us God wants us to have peace, tranquility, and love in our lives. It tells us God wants us to be good to one another. Yet the truth is there is nothing good in being unkind or careless with our words. There is nothing peaceful in stirring up trouble and nothing tranquil in creating chaos in the life of or lives of others, not even our own. The man with the unclean spirit represents those of us who wish to disturb the peace that Jesus brings. The man with the unclean spirit is one who would have remained silent and should have remained silent and allowed Jesus to preach and to teach. But our Lord, being who he was, stopped teaching long enough to verbally address this situation, and through his mighty works, he silenced a would-be distraction, a would-be agitator, a disturber of peace and tranquility. Notice it says Jesus was teaching. People are listening. He has an audience. Yes, if the man with the unclean spirit had his way, he would strip everyone of their love for one another and for the Lord. And Jesus knew this. As you have heard me say before, it is easier to destroy than to build. And our Lord says, "Be ye builders of peace, love, and tranquility. I send you out as sheep among wolves." Don't become a wolf. It's not pleasant, and it's not appreciated. Here's a poem by a man named Clinton Menninger, from his book, Springs of Living Waters. All around me, Lord of life, my word is tumbling in. There's nothing sure and nothing safe from gossip, greed, and sin. And yet I know thy pardon, Lord, and thy forgiving power. And through the storms of life each day, thy truth sustains each hour. Oh, help me climb above the storms that beat me down each day, and glimpse a bit of heaven on earth along life's burdened way. Help me to know thy nearness, Lord. I cannot walk alone, so let me feel thy guiding hand through every path unknown. I do not want to know the goal of what tomorrow bring. One step, one hour, one gleam of light to make my spirit sing. And I shall walk through the mist or rain, through storm or summer's day, if I but know you're by my side along life's changing way. If we were to pray that prayer, if we were to recite this poem, perhaps those of us who have an urge to create problems would have a change of heart and decide to do the work of the person who provides that meal for us every Sunday. If we dedicate ourselves to work for Christ, it would be very difficult to be anything but kind and loving and peaceful. So this week, yes, even on this day of Super Bowl Sunday, may we all start with peace. May we all be a people who love tranquility, and may we all be a people who love one another as Christ loved us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us. You have put love in our hearts. May we find that love, use that love, do your work. You are a God of love and a God of peace. And may we, like your Son, walk in peace and in love. For we ask this in his holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.